First time, long time. Welcome, Smitty, Roan, Booze. And we are recording tonight after the first place Philadelphia 76ers put a overtime shellacking on the first place of the Western Conference Utah Jazz. Sixers are now a half a game ahead of the Brooklyn Nets, who are tugging at the Sixers' taint. They're coming out, but you gotta love the way the Sixers rolled out tonight. We'll talk about the last couple games, which, I mean, they blew up the Pacers. The Cavs was just an unmitigated disaster of a mess at home. But tonight, the Sixers were victorious, and Joel Embiid went balls to the walls out.
Yeah, I think my mantra right now for the Sixers is I'm enjoying the fuck out of this. We're in first place going into the All-Star break for the first time since 2001. It's not just a nice stretch of basketball. It's not an aberration. It's a statistical landmark. Halfway through the season, we're in first place. We're in control. We have the MVP. Joel Embiid has more fucking 40 in 10 games than the entire rest of the league combined. We're fucking those boys. I want to enjoy it. I want to bask in it because I'm tired of looking at other people be at the top of the mountain and being jealous of them. Fuck that. I'm going to enjoy my spot at the top.
And you say 40 and 10. He went 40 and 19 tonight. Three assists, a steal, two blocks, one just eviscerating block over Gobert towards the end, two turnovers. He bullied Gobert the entire game. And I'm going to write a blog about this tomorrow, but riddle me this, Ronan Deuce. Any legitimate basketball fan, statistician, observer, or member of reality who watched this game tonight, how can you not vote Joel Embiid for MVP? How can you not?
Did I see a stat tonight that Joel Embiid this year has 5-40 in 10 games while the rest of the NBA in general only has 4?
I believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's unbelievable. And people are still doubting this man?
I don't think anybody's really doubting him.
MVP.
Injuries still remain a concern. He hasn't really been injured this year. I get where some people are like, oh, well, LeBron doesn't miss games. He plays every night. Jokic doesn't miss games. He plays every night. And, you know, if Embiid's going to sit out one every, you know, 5-6 games, that's going to add up. I get that. But you can't watch what happened tonight and not call this man, this Cameroonian nightmare, a fucking MVP of the game and possibly God. I would swear all allegiance to him as my Lord and Savior after tonight and what he's been doing all year.
Smitty, you throw around the possibly God tag a lot, and this time I have to completely get on board. It possibly God is 100%, and I agree that it's disrespect to even include Jokic or fucking LeBron in that conversation. Guess what? LeBron's missing the game tonight. He's not playing tonight. His team doesn't have Anthony Davis, and he's not playing. That doesn't sound like some MVP shit. It's disrespectful to even bring up anybody else's name into the conversation, because when Embiid hit that step back three, that was the microcosm of everything that he's done this year. His shot has been incredible. He has the same shooting percentage from 3-point range as Steph Curry. Like, what the fuck are we talking about? After tonight, his season average is going to be over 30 points a game. Like, what the fuck are we talking about? The way that he bullied the presumptive defensive player of the year, Rudy Gobert, it's a joy to watch.
Got to give credit to Tobias Harris, who stamped down the nuts in overtime. He had 11 points going into overtime. Guess how much he ended with? 22. Twice that in overtime. Ben Simmons, not the greatest night. He's not dropping 42 like he did against the Jazz before, but efficient. Very efficient. 8 for 11, 17 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds. And the most important stat, which people still refuse to understand, is Donovan Mitchell, yes, great player, had a decent night. He went, 12 for 34 from the field? Sure, let him shoot up 34 shots. Good, fine, let him do that. But to only hit 12 of them, that's a good night by Ben Simmons. On both ends of the floor.
Did he only, Not only did he only hit 12 of them, Smitty, he got so frustrated that he quit on his team and mm-hmm. got ejected from the game because he's a mental little person and couldn't handle a little bit of ribbing from Joel Embiid. Mm-hmm. He cost his team the game. Like, if he plays the rest of that game, all these Utah fans are complaining about the refs. No, it's fucking Donovan Mitchell. And do you want to talk about the Trista Crick bet a little bit, Smitty? Should we just bring that up just for the people who might not know?
There was a bet. Roan, I was told by Trista herself that this was a Barstool Sportsbook bet. So I am not involved in this. I don't work for Barstool, apparently. Oh. And I have nothing to do with the sportsbook, apparently.
Oh, really?
So I don't know if I'm allowed to speak upon this, but go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that you weren't affiliated, Smitty. That comes as shocking news to me. But there was a bet of whether Ben Simmons or Donovan Mitchell would have more points, rebounds, and assists tonight. And Donovan Mitchell won that bet. And it was pitted as me against Trista on the sports book, which I hope people continue to bet on the sports book. I hope people continue to take great offers that we have like that. But Smitty, I'll take this outcome a billion times out of a million, win, a fucking defining win over a team with a better record than us going into the All-Star break versus like a one-on-one statistical matchup. If Ben Simmons had taken 34 shots, he would have had those gaudy, hollow numbers. But the thing that's more important is that one in the win column, and that's all I care about.
Yeah, and we were talking before the show, we're going to need to have a sit down at the people over at the Penn Sportsbook for putting that bet out there, because it was a no-brainer even beforehand that Mitchell was going to have at least 10 points more than Ben Simmons. So I don't know why Ben Simmons was favored in that scenario, but I mean, to each their own. Everyone bet responsibly. Barstool Sportsbook, PA, Michigan, go ahead. But the Jazz, they're a fucking good team. They're a really good team.
Yes.
There's no logical reason why the Sixers should have been even close to sending this game into overtime the way they were shooting. The Jazz shot 50% from three, not like going 4 for 8, not going 10 for 20, 21 for 42. That's outrageous. That no team should lose a game if you're shooting 21 for 42 from three. And Roan, I got to admit, stuff like that scares me going into the playoffs, because the Sixers, they're lucky if they shoot 21 threes in a game. They average like 25. They ain't making 20 plus threes in a game. And if Tobias, Ben, and Embiid aren't playing, and I mean, fuck injuries. Like, if one of them goes down, they ain't winning anything. But if they aren't playing at the top of their game with this starting five, they're not going to make it out of the East. And I preached all year that I love this starting five. I love Shake. Just give me someone off the bench, a George Hill, a Redick, just come in as a sharpshooter. The gentleman from Sacramento, who I can't pronounce, the Slovakian or whatever his name is, Bojeka, like, give me one of those guys. No, that's not going to do it anymore. They need more help, because Seth Curry, and we saw it on Saturday when Seth went 1 for 13 against the Cavs. Like, okay, he can probably start, but if he's going to be a specialist, fucking nail your specialty, man. And you saw it tonight again. If Danny Green is going to be starting as the small forward in the NBA for a championship team for a third straight year, he needs to step it up. He disappears way too constantly in games. He's a walking, talking brain fart out there sometimes. I don't understand it. And for them to get out of the East, they're going to need to make a move for that starting five. I'm convinced of it now. They need to make it happen.
Yeah, seeing the Jazz play how they play, you're exactly right. The Jazz are a damn good team, and I feel like they don't get the respect they deserve because Joe Ingles and Bogdan Bogdanovic are ugly. Like, just because they're ugly dudes. Like, if those weren't ugly dudes, like, if they were, like, marketable dudes or not playing in Utah or not, like, a European and an Australian, people would respect them. But seeing them made me think, yeah, we do need those shooters. Like, dude, we need to have a nice fleet of shooters sitting out there.
We need to go to the nearest LA Fitness or the Upper Main Line YMCA and pick out a fucking 35-year-old sharpshooter and maybe go up against Inglis or Bogdanovic.
Like, you want to bring back Dakota Mathias, it sounds like. You like Dakota Mathias for his two games with us, just a 6'4 white dude with no ass. But, dude, I think that Seth Curry, we need to get him with some fucking deer antler spray in his Cheerios or some bull's nuts fucking injected into his steaks, because that dude needs to sack up and just jack threes. His brother has shown that if you have some confidence with their fucking genetics and with his shooting stroke, the shooting stroke we know he has, if he should be shooting fucking like 9 threes a game. Like, he should be shooting an insane amount, just pulling up in people's faces. And I mean, maybe it's just his disposition, his personality, but like, there was one time tonight when he just jacked up a three in someone's face where he felt like he was pissed and he shot it from like fucking 30 feet, like 35 feet out or whatever. But like, that needs to be happening all the time. He needs to go unconscious, or like, we need to have someone who's just gonna nut up in there, because he's a nice situational player. I like Shake Milton's mindset, but I mean, he's obviously not as good of a spot up shooter as Seth Curry is. And if him and Danny Green aren't hitting everything, then it's like, there's a hole in the lineup. But until overtime, Tobias Harris was part of the problem.
So
you're not wrong. And I do agree that Seth is extremely apprehensive for whatever reason. He does need to chuck. And when he did chuck tonight and went in, he was about 10 feet behind the third three-point line and it fucking went balls to the wall. But, I mean, Tobias stepped it up when it matters. Go ahead, Boots.
He did.
Well, my biggest question is, if we need somebody, there's lots of reports coming out. Is Kyle Lowry coming back to Philly?
Well, here's my scenarios that we can go for. We can't give up one of the big three, like Simmons for Harden. Like, those scenarios are out of the question. You just can't. Anybody else in my mind, including the next 30 first-round picks, is on the table.
For Kyle Lowry?
Well, no. Not necessarily for Lowry. See, if we want to make it out of the East, yes, get Kyle Lowry, give up basically – give up – like, I would give up Danny Green and Thibault for Lowry. Would I give up Green, Thibault, and Maxey? I would rather not, but when it comes down to it, I would, because you need that to get out of the East. But for them to win a championship, they need to get – Victor Oladipo, or they need to get Zach LaVine. They need to go all out and not waste Embiid's prime and the way they're playing right now. They need that score right here, right now. And if they get LaVine or Oladipo, they can win it all. They can win it all, boys. They can win it all.
Spitty, no, I don't think that those dudes are necessarily the answer, because both of those guys are super high usage. Victor Oladipo is the recipe for a guy who's going to go like 3 for 14 a lot of nights and like need the ball in his hands. Like, we don't need that on our team. We have enough mouths to feed, and our team is the best when there's not some fucking wing who's like, I need the ball. Like, Ben Simmons' tendency to be a little bit passive in the fourth quarter is almost awesome for Embiid, because it's like, you're going to give it to him 5 possessions in a row, and it doesn't matter if it's Gobert, he's gonna whip somebody's ass. You need fucking complimentary players around him, and I just love that we have Daryl Morey in charge right now, because I feel like he's not gonna make some stupid harebrained trade mortgaging the future. Like, I think that he would make the right trade. I trust him. Smitty, do you trust Daryl Morey right now?
I trust Daryl Morey. If Daryl Morey wants to take a dump on my face, he can call it golden ice cream. I don't give a fuck. I would trust Daryl Morey whatever he does. However, I wholeheartedly disagree with what you said about Oladipo and LaVine. I think the Sixers need a scorer that can create their own shot, and yet they have proven themselves to be efficient clutch scorers when it happens. Because right now, if Embiid doesn't have the ball in his hands and his clutch, nobody else is creating their own shot. They need a timeout for Doc to draw up the most efficient play like possible. They don't have the person that can take anybody one-on-one. And yes, an Oladipo or LaVine might like mess up the gel a little bit, but when the lights are on and the game is on the line, like, and you saw it like with Donovan McMichael at times where he is just able to take people to school, like, the Sixers could use that right now without fucking Danny Green just playing with his ball sack in the fucking corner pocket 24/7. Get the fuck out of the corner, Danny Green, or if you're going to stay there, you got to hit 90% of your shots. Like, he just doesn't move. What's he doing?
But that's spacing, though. That gives the space for guys to be able to find lanes to fucking cut to the basket. Or that's why you can have both Embiid and Simmons rolling to the basket at the same time, because the lane's not clogged up with some slapdick fucking shooting guard who thinks he's a superhero just because he can fucking dunk from the free throw line. Like,
you wouldn't take LaVine right now if Zach LaVine was given to us for a maxi Danny Green in a first rounder. If he was just given to us, you wouldn't take him, put him in the starting lineup?
I mean, you would always take better players, but like, I'm a big chemistry guy. Like, I think that the chemistry, like, I believe in having the right mixture is more important than just stocking out your roster with as many like big names and like high scoring guys. Like, you need to have everybody know exactly what their role is and let everyone fit together. And I would take him, but it's like, the Bulls are going to want a fucking buttload for him. The dude is fucking sick. Like, he's fucking incredible. Yeah. Like, he's like a lead guard. Like, he is, I mean, it'd be hard to have him and Simmons on the team at the same time. Like, if you think you're going to move on from Simmons at some point, maybe you unload some assets so you can get Zach LaVine and then try to recoup them with Simmons. But like, I feel like we moved on, like that bridge, that ship has sailed.
I think they would find a way to coexist. Or you put Simmons at the four, space Tobias at three, and you have some fun. Well, what would you do then? What does this team need that would elevate them to be the powerhouse where they deserve to be right now? Because you have to admit right now, they're not there.
But I mean, who's more there than them in the NBA right now?
That scare me. That's officially scare me. I mean, the Jazz fucking scare me tonight. There's no reason why they should have been in that game with them. There's just not when they were shooting like that. The Sixers got lucky tonight.
I think that the blaming or like saying that the officials kind of gave this game to the Sixers is a little bit overblown. There were about five calls on Embiid that didn't get called. Oh, yeah. Embiid could have easily put up a nice 50 burger tonight. Like, he could have easily been taking care of business, but he didn't. And I'm not bitching about it. I mean, I guess it's nice to have won, but I think that there's little adjustments that you make to this team, but I don't think, I'm not familiar enough with the names other than the guys we've already said, like DeMarcus Cousins last episode, Bielitsa, JJ Redick, a Davis Bertans or some shit. It's like, it is a sharpshooter because Mike Scott, as much as I love him, he'll come into a game and maybe hit a three or two. He knows his spot, but like, you need someone who's more dynamic, I think, offensively. I don't know, like, just, I guess a European dude, just give me a nice fucking
bring back Sarge, bring back Ersan.
I would.
Ersan's on the table. I wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
That.
So I would take Ersan.
I have a quick question, and obviously I'm not as well versed in the NBA as you guys are. Is Bradley Beal still on the table? Like, and what would we have to give up to get a Bradley Beal? Because that guy's freaking amazing.
I mean, he obviously would. You would need all the organs to get him.
So you'd have to give up. You'd have to give up everybody. A Ben Simmons to get a Brad Beal.
Theoretically, no. But the rumors that are coming out of Washington are he wants to make it work there. So they would be very apprehensive to put him on the market.
Dude, I think you would need to give up Simmons to get him. I feel like I just feel like the moves are tinkers this year. I don't think that there's any like swing for the fences. I think we kind of unclogged the feng shui with the off-season moves that we made, and we're just trying to build around
on this very program. Our roles were reversed. I'd like to say a month and a half ago when the James Harden trade was going down. You wanted Harden, I wanted to keep the chemistry, and now I love the chemistry, but they're just not, they're not good enough with Danny Green there. Seth Curry I can live with as a shooting guard. They need to upgrade Danny Green's position, or he just needs to fucking start playing better.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good shooter. He plays defense and he knows the spot. Like, if Matisse Thybulle could have Danny Green's shooting stroke, like if we could just morph those players into each other and sprinkle in a little Shake Milton, like, I mean, those players are all like kind of a version of what we need, but not exactly what we need. I mean, Furkan, maybe more minutes for Furkan. He didn't really get his burn tonight, but he tied or beat his career high. He had that amazing first quarter 2 weeks ago, and then had more points than that like two nights ago. So, I mean, Furkan, I think some combination of those guys. But we're the best team in the league right now. Like, that's what I'm driving home to myself. Like, we can beat the Lakers, the Nets, the Jazz, the Clippers, the Bucks, all these teams we could beat in a seven-game series right now.
I would hope to agree with you. The Nets scare the piss out. I mean, the Bucks are coming along as well, too. They really are. And Furkan needs to get his head out of his Turkish taint. Like, that guy pisses me off like nobody else. You have one job, man. Just be consistent. Just be consistent. Booze, get to the voicemails.
Yo, Smitty and Rome, this is Mikey from Delco, and I just wanted to fire this take off into your ear holes and let me know what it does to your brain. But if Joel Embiid wins the NBA championships and the MVP this year, I think he vaults over Iverson for most beloved silly icons in sports. I don't know, man. It's hard to argue. Iverson never did win anything, and while, you know, he was known for his great one-on-one skills and his swagger, you told me Joel Embiid doesn't have that kind of stuff? Anyway, guys, just wanted to, you know, say thank you for keeping it real and Delco for life.
I think that with Delco for life for sure, but I think that that Iverson had like a cultural impact that's hard to overstate. Like baggy jeans and baggy fucking shorts and cornrows and tattoos and fucking like all the cultural shit and how like his shoes, like everybody wanted to be like him. Like he was just like a god to people. Like I think that Embiid doesn't have necessarily those things, but he's right there with him and as good as a basketball player as he is.
Yeah, and Embiid will go down. As long as he's healthy at this point, he will go down as an icon in this town. But Iverson, I mean, people have to realize without Iverson, that team wasn't even a 500 team.
And barely. I think also if we're talking about Philly sports in general, I know – I mean, you can't – would you put Joel Embiid before Nick Foles as most loved Philly sports icon in Philly sports? Like, that guy brought us Philadelphia Eagles' very first Super Bowl. Even though he wasn't a starter that whole entire season, credit Carson Wentz. But, like, that guy's – he's been on the Eagles multiple different times, and he brought us our very first Super Bowl. Philly.
Dude, here's my thing about Embiid as opposed to Foles, though. I think that Eagles – or that Philly fans kind of can take extreme ownership of Embiid because he's been here his entire career. And, like, he was here through, like, shitty times, the process. And so people who, like, love Embiid feel like he's almost like this fucking kid that they raised up. Whereas Nick Foles was great. He's more of a prodigal son story. He went away. He came home. He had great times. We had bad times. It's more of, like, an adult relationship. And we have this fucking fantastic romanticized relationship with Embiid where he's just like blossoming into like everything we ever hoped and dreamed. So it's like he can be like the greatest of all time, but Nick Foles has like just a different story, a different trajectory in his Philly sports fandom.
Yeah, it's really apples and oranges. You're right about Joel Embiid. We've watched him from an injured player at Kansas who was basically a CYO ball player who only picked up a basketball like 3 years before he was drafted to battling through injuries, the loss of his brother, then being absolutely dominant on the court, going from drinking solely Shirley Temples with extra grenadine to having a kid and being fucking MVP, plopping it down. So you are right with we've watched Embiid from the beginning, and we do like look at him as a son of ours.
Philly's yeah, he son. Really is. He's our son.
Hey guys, it's Nick from Havertown. Actually, good family friends of Booze. And I just wanted to hear your thoughts on one thing that I think about a lot with Sixers. And a lot of Sixers fans get mad at me when I say this, which means there's got to be a little bit of truth to it. We love Joel Embiid, and he's because he's so good, the best center in the NBA by far. But in today's NBA, if you lead your team as the best player as the center, can you win an NBA Finals? I mean, honestly, and not this is in 2000 with Tim Duncan. This is in 1990, 2020, 2021. I don't think you can really win an NBA Finals with when your best player is a center. I mean, look at the last 10 teams that have won the NBA Finals. And you could say the Denver Nuggets went to the Western Conference Finals and their best player was their center. But we all know the only reason they did that was because of the way Jamal Murray was playing. I mean, Jamal Murray brought them there. Jamal Murray was scoring 40 points a night. So I know we love Embiid, and I'm not saying we should trade him. But wouldn't you agree we're kind of trapped? Because we can't trade him. No one in their right mind would trade him. But can you win an NBA Finals in 2020?
I've heard enough. When it's freaking Havertown hoagie hooch. I mean, the NBA is cyclical, and in some sense that, yes, there were centers winning with Shaq, and then like Tim Duncan wasn't necessarily a true center, but they were winning with them. And name another center that was MVP worthy in the past 10 years. Like, no shit that the team that wins the NBA Finals is not going to have the best center as the MVP on their team, because there wasn't one in the past 10 years. Now there is one, and who knows? Of course they can win.
Wait, is Anthony Davis not a center anymore, or did the Lakers not just win last year with their best player being a center?
I consider him a power forward, but I mean, we all know LeBron was the best.
Who was their center then? Who they weren't even playing? They were playing him as their center. But regardless, if you want to call LeBron their best player, that's like,
look, I agree with what that guy's saying is no, technically there hasn't been the center like a fucking Bill Russell or Wilt Chamberlain holding down the fort for an NBA championship team in the past 10 years, probably not since Shaq. That's a fact, but that's not saying Joel Embiid can't be that guy.
He's also the most dominant center since Shaq, period. End of sentence. He's more dominant than Dwight Howard ever was already, because he does more things. He's more polished offensively. And the best player will be in the finals. Like, it's the best player is going to be there. It doesn't matter what his position is. Trapped? How is this guy saying we're fucking trapped? Trapped in fucking heaven.
Yeah, exactly. Trapped in greatness. And, yeah, he is technically a center, but did you see the game-tying shot he had in overtime? What fucking center have you ever seen do that? Hakeem never did that. He's compared to Hakeem.
Yeah. Come on.
What? No, seriously, what center – dropped a step back three to tie the game in NBA history, like Joel did tonight.
He's only a center because he's 7'1". If he wasn't 7'1", he wouldn't be a center.
Yo, quick Flyers talk for you. Shane Gostisbehere is the worst fucking defenseman the Flyers have seen. And I don't know, maybe COVID. But this dude needs to get off the fucking ice, off the team, actually. He let up first goal of the game, all him. Third goal of the game, all him. The kid doesn't even know how to play fucking defense. He sucks at offense. And the kid's still out the whole goddamn game. What the fuck am I watching? Madness in Philadelphia with Shane Gostisbehere on the ice.
The long downfall of Gostisbehere. I mean, Booze, what other options do they have right now?
Not very many. I mean, our defense is so thin, and they're not great from what you say. But, like, I hate them shitting on Ghost, because at the end of the day, I love Ghost. But you're right. Like, he's just too small. He's not physical enough. But he's got a clapper from the heavens. Like, but it's not always accurate. You know what I mean? Like, that's what's so tough. And, I mean, I don't know. There are rumors, and I think I saw a tweet today that, you know, this is why we brought in Chuck Fletcher, to make big moves like this. Now, the Flyers have the talent offensively to take them to the Stanley Cup Finals and win the damn thing. They have the goaltending to take them to the Stanley Cup Finals and win the damn thing. They don't have the defense. And that, at the end of the day, that shoots them in the foot so badly. So there are rumors that we could possibly be looking to make a trade with the Predators, Matthias Ekholm. But, you know, until I see something, you know, I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, no, I've said this on multiple shows, the Flyers defense needs work, and a Travis Sanheim, a Robert Haig, Ivan Provorov can't do it all alone. You know what I mean? He's not even having a great year. So yeah, the Flyers are not a Stanley Cup Finals team right now. but they are a couple of defensive pieces away from being that, for sure.
Bring back Wayne Simmons.
I'd love it. Oh, I would love it in a second. Just to be that guy to, like, just – we need physicality. We need physicality. We don't have that right now.
I like how stoned that guy sounded.
Oh, yeah, he was high as hell. All right, last one.
Yo, fellas, it's Bones from Westchester. So with all the stadiums reopening, hopefully, potentially, it's got me thinking just about stadium and ballpark concessions, like mostly food and drink. What stadium snack are you most looking forward to having if you guys are lucky enough to get back into a game? You know, I think you got your classic chicken and pizza fries, but I think I'm craving a big Lorenzo slice. All right, guys, I'll hang up and listen. Peace.
And mine's easy. Shout out to getting a nice large Lorenzo slice set at a Sixers or Flyers game. But I always, always, always go at Citizens Bank Park to Bulls BBQ and get a pulled pork. It's delicious. It ranks up there with some of the best barbecue out there. And I can't wait. I can't wait for the Bulls to reopen.
Smitty, I don't know if I've ever seen your eyes light up like this. There's just a look of pure joy.
It's great. Like always
Christmas morning.
Mm-hmm. Always go.
Yeah, I'm definitely. I don't know if I associate Lorenzo's. I guess with the ballpark as much as just like I'm just a dollar dog, dude. Just shove a dollar dog down my fucking throat. Give me just $6 dogs, fucking bundled up, a couple beers and a couple piss breaks, and I'll be good to go. That's really all I need. Park me in the fucking outfield. When are we up and going, or are we good for opening day? Like, are we back or what?
I've been reading 8K for Phillies games.
Okay. Which tailgate should we go to?
Oh, whatever's the most welcoming. You know, there's gonna be well more than 8K people down there. Thanks, oh, yeah. Live. Also, Philly Live is now open, the casino right by the ballpark, which is going to be lovely after the Eagles get trounced by 6 touchdowns at home, and watching fucking Mac Jones, 6th pick overall, try to lead this team to a 2-14 victory. Yeah, why not after opening day trounce down to Philly Live and lose a cool 2K on blackjack? That's going to be real uplifting, real uplifting.
Damn, you don't believe that Merrill Reese said that they were not going to take a quarterback? You think that it's going to be Mac Jones and 2K down the drain on blackjack?
It is going to be 2K down the drain on blackjack, no matter who's at quarterback or whether they win or lose. But I don't think they're going to take a quarterback. I still have like faith that common sense is going to take over.
It's such a tiny, minuscule amount of faith, but I agree with you, Smitty.
Yeah, I honestly think that at this point they'd be stupid not to trade back. I think that's really the only option.
Yeah,
because they have so many needs.
I've seen a lot of people wanting to get rid of 3 defensive linemen. I've seen people want to get rid of Derek Barnett, Brandon Graham, and Fletcher Cox. Do you want to get rid of 1, 2, 3, or 0 of them?
Well, Brandon Graham's about to restructure his deal with the Eagles, so he's not going anywhere.
Yeah. That was official, the restructuring. I mean, Derek Barnett, you pretty much seen what he can do at this point, which means he's 1,000% going to go somewhere else and be a Pro Bowler right away. I don't want to give up Fletch, but I mean, at this point, you know, he's over 30 years old. So is Brandon Graham. If you can get value for any one of those 3 guys, like what's the point of them sticking around? There's no point. They're not going to waste away on a 3-13 team. Like, get value. Try to rebuild this franchise from the ground up.
What do you think that you could get for Derek Barnett? Dexter Fowler went for a 3rd and a 5th round pick, but Derek Barnett hasn't had that much. Would you get a 4th round pick? I saw that the Browns are maybe interested. A 4th round pick from the Browns, which is what you gave the Browns for Jarnard Avery. So you basically traded Derek Barnett straight up for Jarnard Avery. Does that feel good?
At this point, no, it doesn't feel good. No. Not at all. But yeah, I would do that. I would do a 4th rounder for Barnett. I think that's realistically what his value is, unfortunately. the all-time sacks leader, the single-season sacks leader, University of Tennessee, overcoming Reggie White's records coming in first-round pick. Yeah, I think that's what he's worth right now.
That's so weird. That's just such like a weird – because he was supposed to at least be one of our good draft picks, and then getting a fourth-round pick for him before he's even like into his second full contract, like –
Maybe I'd be a little more apprehensive letting him go for a fourth rather than like Brandon Graham. Like, give me a second for him right now. Fletcher Cox, give me a first or a second for him right now. Let him go. I don't think anybody's gonna pay that for him. But yeah, give it to
him. That's the problem. Calais Campbell went for a fucking fifth round draft pick.
Yeah.
But Fletcher Cox might not even give you like maybe you'll get a third for him. Yeah. Like, it's fucked.
If you guys really want to talk full circle, what are your guys' thoughts on Marcus Mariota?
I don't want him.
You don't want him?
Those problems. I don't want that. I don't want that fucking discourse. I don't want that. Like, I don't even want that quarterback battle.
So, Ron, are you saying that you want to stick with?
I want Hurts. I want to just start Hurts this year, see what happens. And if we fucking suck again, like, whatever, we're going to need a bunch of high draft picks anyway. And if he's good, like, wow, we stumbled ass backwards into a competent quarterback.
You know, I wouldn't mind Mariota solely for they might have the somehow get lucky Ryan Tannehill effect where he, you know, is a backup and then all of a sudden becomes an all pro. Will that happen? Absolutely not. But I wouldn't mind him. I don't think he'd be a threat to Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts was the Wentz, apparently. But I wouldn't mind Mariota as a backup whatsoever. Because, I mean, they have to put all their eggs in the Hurts basket right now, at least for this season. They have to. Unless, of course, they draft a quarterback at 6, in which if they draft Mac Jones at 6, that might be the single worst draft pick in NFL history.
Dude, the thing about –
And I like Mac Jones. I like him. I do, but come on, man. He's not going to be a Hall of Famer. Like, what the fuck?
The thing about drafting a quarterback at 6 is that, like, especially in the draft, like this year's draft, where people are kind of scrambling to the front of the draft to get a quarterback, anybody that's good enough to fall to number 6, like anyone that's bad enough to fall to number 6 when all these teams want quarterbacks, like, isn't the person I want on my team. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's like someone like the saying, like, I don't want to be a member of any club that would have me as a member. Like, I don't want to take anybody at 6 that would fall to 6. Like, for a quarterback, like, everyone's going to want to get these top couple guys at the top of the draft. And maybe it turns into a Patrick Mahomes situation, but like, are you really going to bank on that?
Now, more realistically, it turns into a Christian Ponder, JP Lossman situation. And what you just waste, you'll waste the franchise, the city's lives for a few more years. And it's a shame. You boys want to play a little, I remember that fucking guy, where we go back reminisce. Just throw out there a person we haven't heard of in a long time. And you just remember, oh yeah, I remember that guy.
I got more people hitting me up last week about Sean Singletary, about John Kelly saying Sean Singletary, than I have about anything. I was about to just start doing exclusively high school football players, but I think they said he got it wrong. He might not have been a running back, but I'm just trying to go blast for the past Steve Slayton or some shit. Fucking talk about some Tom Savage, some old fucking Tom Savage.
Wow.
He's still in the league, isn't he?
Is he?
I
don't know if he's still in the league. But he might be on the coaching trajectory. You know, a couple years in the league as a backup quarterback, that's a good way to wind up as a head coach. Mike Kafka's on that trajectory.
Yeah, might as well. All right, Roan, who do you got?
I got I'm going to take it to the late 90s for you guys. And this is a blast from the past for sure. This guy played in Philly 97, 98, 99, and 2000, and he got traded to Boston in 2000. Boston, the Red Sox, because this guy was a Philly. And he was a Philly who you would wonder, like, was he actually, like, did he put up numbers? And then you look at his numbers, and you're like, this guy had to be on the juice because he had 20 home runs one year, The next year, he had 20 home runs.
Placido Polanco.
No.
It wasn't Placido Polanco. He was more of a hit for average guy.
Yeah.
This guy
and
had
he came
some
back.
Fucking dumb power. He had
Ricky Lede?
Not Ricky Lede, but the first name starts with the same letter as Ricky Lede. Ricky Lede smacked around some home runs for us. Was more pop off the bench.
Rico Bronya?
Bingo.
Rico Bronya. Hey, the best picky glove first base has ever seen. No picky, no play. Rico Bronya scooped it out every single time somebody, every single time Desi Relford threw a fucking three hopper over Rico Bronya. He's scooping it out and saving a life.
Rico Bronya is an all-time Philly name. Dude, Rico Bronya sounds like a fucking salami brand that was fucking like made in South Philly. Like, get some Bronya. It's one of the just sings in the Philly accent. But I looked at this guy's stats and it was like, he had fucking multiple, he had 320 home run seasons and 200 RBI seasons. What kind of shit was this guy injecting himself with around the turn of the century that he was putting up numbers like that? That's absolutely preposterous that Rico Bronya was fucking dealing like that. But I mean, he played for the Mets, he played for Boston for a little bit after us, he played for the Braves even for a year, never recaptured that those nice years, 27, 28, and 29 in his life. Rico Bronya. What a pull by Smitty.
Rico Bronya. I mean, he was one of my favorites back in the day. He had a great glove. Harry Callis loved saying his name. And, he had a few good years. He was a good ball player. He was a staple at first base for a bunch of years. All right, Boos, who are you going with?
Yeah, like right before Travis Lee.
Yeah.
Rico Bronya.
All right, so this guy, I got to be honest with you, I had no idea he was a Philadelphia athlete. He's been in the news a lot lately, mostly because for a pop culture phenomenon called The Bachelor. He played for the Eagles.
Acho. Acho.
Dude,
Acho.
Acho. I had, Acho. I had no idea he was an Eagle. I don't know if I was – I mean
– And he only played
– I'm old enough. I'm a huge Eagles fan. His best season with the Eagles – he played 14 games in 2014, had 19 total solo tackles.
Mm-hmm.
That was really it.
He was a special teamer. Yeah, he was drafted by Cleveland. He only played 3 years in a league, which, I mean, more power to him for making
how is he such like a big TV personality if he only played 3 years in the league? Like, that's good for
him.
I think
he's like just a genius. I think he's like a super intelligent guy.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah, and if you ever like watched like his shows and stuff, like he got hired by, I think, Speak for Yourself, the Shannon Sharp show, and he isn't just like the hot take phenomenon that like Skip Bayless or Shannon Sharp would be. Like, very intelligent, eloquent points about not only sports but about society and life.
Yeah,
I think that Clay Harbor and Emmanuel Acho were on the Eagles at the same time. And Clay Harbor has been a contestant on The Bachelorette.
Oh, yeah.
And now Emmanuel Acho is the host of The Bachelorette. Like, we're going to have LeSean McCoy fucking being another contestant. Like, is this just a feeder program for The Bachelorette? Like, what is going on with that Eagles team?
It's Chip Kelly's year, my friend. Don't ask me what Riley Cooper's doing right now, though.
But, fuck.
Nah, Clay Harbor... came to the Eagle or left the Eagles in 2012.
Yeah, for Jacksonville, damn. Right?
And then Emmanuel Acho came in 2013.
Hmm. Yeah.
And they're one after the other.
One after another. We're just cranking them through.
All right.
Bachelors.
My guy, baseball player, was in the league for a while before he came to the Phillies. I only played for the Phillies in 1 year, 2005. But before then, he was a good, good reliever. The Expos, the Red Sox, the Rangers, the Marlins, and then Detroit.
Plesac?
No, not Dan Plesac. I like where your head's at, though. This gentleman was actually traded to the Phillies for Placido Polanco before Placido Polanco came back to shore up the bullpen in 2005. But was only with the team for a year because, unfortunately, his mother got kidnapped in his native, I believe, Uruguay. And, Urbina? Urbina. And he got charged for attempted murder for taking a couple machetes to his mother's kidnappers and lighting them on fire.
He lit him on fire. Yeah, oh, he lit a guy on fire.
Hey, yeah, do what you got to do, man. It's your mom.
And then the guy kidnapped his mom. Yeah,
yeah, it's your mother.
Mad at.
Yeah.
I would always confuse him and Alfonseca, having a UU and the AA, both from Central America. It's tough, but he was like, I think he was like a god in his country. Like, and I feel like he was always wearing like Ed Hardy and like affliction gear. Like, he was always dressed up like an asshole.
I mean, not a god enough, because number one, he didn't get the job done after he attacked five farm workers on his property, whom he accused of stealing a gun with a machete and attempting to pour gasoline on them. And then he was convicted of attempted murder and sentenced to 14 years and 7 months in prison. He was released in 2012 after just serving 7 years of his sentence. So, his mother's kidnapping was was not part of that. was not part of that exchange. It was a different incident. How about that? Wild shit in South America.
He just can't stop stepping in it. This guy is just fucking.
What do you think he's up to nowadays? Like, what do you think he's up to?
I think I remember he tried to make a comeback after he came out of prison, but I mean, no explano.
Couldn't cut it.
Yeah.
Lost the juice.
Yeah, he was a good pitcher. He was good. I was excited when they got him for Polanco, because I mean, I like Polanco the first time around, but I remember, solid on my bullpen.
Imagine just being the guy's teammate, like knowing that he's got that in him. Like, he's the type of dude, like, obviously if he keeps on getting into these situations, he's carrying that with him. Like, imagine being in the clubhouse with the guy who's capable of attacking five like farm hands with a machete.
But you kind of need that in your relievers. You need a little crazy. Like, you need your goalie to be a little crazy. You need to be, you know, well, not necessarily like John Rocker's personality, but to have those eyes.
Crazy eyes.
Maybe not like Turk Wendell brushing your teeth in between innings, but you know, gotta be a little batshit off the wall.
Yeah, maybe they like that in the scouting report. They're like, this is the type of guy who would take a machete to a farmhand, get him traded for Polanco ASAP.
Philly spring training, really nothing new at all. Literally nothing. Their bullpen or their starter, Ivan Nova, got shellacked in his first outing. But other than that, Odubel Herrera. Yeah. So center field is up for grabs for the Phillies. It's between right now Adam Heasley, who hit a bomb his first game, Scott Kingery, who's going to be platoon again. He's going to play all over the place. Mickey Moniak, number one overall pick. And then Odubel Herrera, who obviously had a very disgusting scenario of domestic violence where the handprints were on his ex-girlfriend's neck, in a very ugly situation. He wasn't officially charged in anything. He served his suspension from major leagues. He's an average to above average ball player. He can hit 300. Phillies need a center fielder. Would you guys take him back?
It's a weird situation because, like, you look to the Michael Vick situation as, like, guidance, but it's also, like, Michael Vick served his time. And I know Odubel Herrera's kind of been, like, I've been working to try and build up my girlfriend's trust again. But
how much of that is just – I need to say the right thing so I can play baseball for a major team again.
Here's the fucked up situation in my mind. If Odubel Herrera batted 330 and fucking knocked 30 home runs a year, he'd be in the majors last year. That's the fucked up situation, all of this. But because he is literally average, we have to have this conversation and conundrum. And I'm not saying it's right that he would have been back in majors last year if he batted, 330 and 30 home runs. But I mean, you see guys like who's the shortstop for the Cubs who served a long suspension for domestic violence?
Addison Russell.
You see guys like that. Chapman had a run in, or the closer with domestic violence. Like, I mean, and you see it with every sport, obviously. I mean, Kareem Hunt, like, back in the league. Yeah, Tariq Hill with the accusations on his pregnant baby mama. Like, it's wild that, like, Odubel Herrera, in my mind, is like, he's the one that's like forcing the discussion in my mind that makes me think, like, oh, if this guy was like actually good, it wouldn't be an issue. If he was bad, they wouldn't be giving him a chance. He is the literal average face of domestic violence in sports.
Yeah, it's fucked. I mean, but you just don't want to have, like, I don't know. It's different when it's on somebody else's team, but you just, I mean, you know who could make this way easier on us is Mickey Moniak, but he's not at all. And I mean, I guess you want to give somebody another chance, but it's like, that's, I don't know, super fucked up. Like, I'm glad I don't have to be in the clubhouse with him. And I know how I'd treat him if I was in the clubhouse with him. Like, I don't think that
great point. Be friends with him. That's a great point. Like, do you want that guy in your locker room after all that he's done, smear he's put on the organization and on his name and all that? Do you want a guy like that in the locker room?
Remember a couple years ago, like the Eagles traded for a D-back from the Raiders named Daryl Worley or some shit. Maybe we traded him a seventh rounder, or maybe we just signed him or something. And then he got in trouble before he even got to a mini camp. And they're like, you're gone. Like, you're just gone. Like, let him be. And he's played with other teams, he's played with other organizations, but it's like, I don't know. Yeah. I feel like that's the kind of thing where you're just like, you're gone. Let's get the good karma on our side. And like, I don't know.
It's a very weird situation.
Feel like if someone was your coworker and that happened and you knew that, and that even if they came back to work, like, you know how you would feel about them.
No, I agree.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then that's why, like, from a business standpoint with the Phillies, like, how much talent they see in Odubel Herrera, if they're giving him this chance.
He was an all-star.
He was. I mean, it's just messed up.
If he's what puts you over the top, like, I mean, I don't know. It kind of has, like, a little Astros vibe to it. It's like, oh, you want it that cost? Like, if he's what puts you over the top, is that what you want?
Yeah, but
I would rather just, like,
I mean, can you say the same thing about, like, Tyreek Hill? You know what I mean? Like, allegedly, he beat his pregnant girlfriend, but the Chiefs still let him on the team, and they won a Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Oh, you want that cost? You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like
the whole scene's riddled with double standards.
Yeah.
And it's a shame. It's a shame. But all right. And on that note, first time, long time.
Fuck it. I like a nice serious conversation. Oh, I don't mind talking serious.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's just one of those things that really, like my wife and I were talking about it. It's just like, it's messed up, because if he was, you know, the 330 home run hitter, there wouldn't even be a question. They would be going to bat for him. And if he sucked, he wouldn't be on the team. So it's like, well, it's the fucking literal face of average.
Yeah, he is.
Which is nuts. All right, first time, long time. Again, we're an unofficial podcast. 5-star review. Keep on coming to the voicemails. And if there's anything you want us to do, whether it's different, whether you like it the same, if you have any ideas, if you have any merch things that you want, we're going to be cooking real soon with a lot of good stuff, hopefully. But keep firing, keep on, everybody. Again, we want to be able to contribute more hours and more time to this, hopefully daily one day, who knows. But thank you, boys. Thanks for listening. We'll hang up and listen, baby.